This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Devastating is a good word for it. Red Sox walked off, and the struggle is real. And they are not, I don't think, anywhere near what most thought they would be at this point. But as Curtis pointed out earlier, it's not June yet. We have until Sunday, so they can turn things around the next couple of days.
Don't count us out.
Well, they need something, though. They need to hit a run if people really are going to stop believing in them. Because if they don't hit a run, if they give you a June like a May, if they give you June like they did in May, this team will be out of it by the All-Star break.
But didn't last year we got a little bump in June and then they fell off again, Curtis? You're the baseball guy. I just remember we hit a little bit of a run in June, and all of a sudden we started feeling a little bit good, and then they fell off again.
Well, at the All-Star break, they were 10 games above 500.
Yeah.
So you felt good about that, and then, you know, obviously no moves were made. But you might get to the All-Star break, and you might be 6-7 games below 500. And the Yankees are playing good. You ain't catching them. And then a wild card spot looks like it's getting further and further away. So this team, by the All-Star break, which is like the second week in July, but even before that, like come July 1st, depending on what you do in June, this team might be done.
A lot of guys, 2 weeks from this weekend, probably got a Father's Day Red Sox-Yankees ticket to enjoy the weekend with their family. And at that point, the Red Sox may be double digits out of first place.
Right.
Just what a waste. What an effing waste. Like, this team is talented enough to be much better than it is. And they've just never really gotten going. Like, when was the – and think about the games they've won. That game against the Braves, they would have been swept if not for Devers' walk-off. Like, it's been miraculous almost when they win a game. Like, it's just
– they haven't swept the series all season long.
No.
So, I'm – you.
But when you look at it on the macro level, it's a 5-year slump for the Red Sox.
Yeah. Yeah, except for that 1 year when they went to the, what was it, the ALCS? What was that?
Yeah, but
they
played Houston?
2021.
That's 2021? 2021.
Right.
So this is the fourth year. 22, 23, 24, 25.
Yeah. Well, we can ask Sam Kennedy about that tomorrow.
Ooh, no Sam.
Craig Breslow tomorrow morning on the show.
I keep forgetting to bring it.
He keeps putting it on Craig.
I know.
Sam came on once, like a week ago.
He was just on last week.
But then it was Craig like the 3 weeks before that.
There was a
the
Boston Magazine did a sit down with Sam Kennedy.
Yeah, I saw that.
Get to know Sam.
No mention of when they asked him who his favorite radio show was. No mention.
No,
he wouldn't pick anybody.
He made sure to say Alex Speer is his whoopee.
Yeah.
I guess they should. They pay him, but. I don't understand. There was no shout out to the Greg Hill Show.
Yeah.
It's the only radio show he goes on.
Yeah. This is Tony from Hanover. Hey, Tony.
Hey. So in the last 5 years of this abysmal Red Sox team, there's three constants. Sam Kennedy, John Henry, and Alex Cora. There's your problem right there. Sam Kennedy is a homegrown kid. It's like the Canton Police Department. They're all homegrown. This is what you get when you hire local. It's an abysmal organization. It's a rotten ownership group. And Alex, let's do damage, Cora. Really, what has he done since he hasn't been able to cheat?
Well, you and Wiggy agree on that one. I mean, Wiggy's been all over it last couple days. Well, he's been over it. He's been all over it for a while, but
right.
Especially the last couple days, because you think that the biggest mistake this team made was extending Alex Cora.
Yeah, because you were a team that finished in last place 2 years in a row. You hadn't made the playoffs since 2021. And the one thing that has been the same has been your manager.
Curtis, Twitch Mitch put up a poll. Can you look at the results? He put it up early this morning on who is to blame for the current status of the
Red Sox. All right,
three
options. Who is most to blame for the lackluster Red Sox season? Players, Cora / coaching, or the front office? Front office, only 20%. Cora coaching, 38%. Players, 42%.
Mm. There you go. Even in that situation, it's still Cora still kind of gets a pass. And that's why I said, name me one other coach that would go, what was it, 4 years straight or 3 years straight?
This is year four.
Year four of not making the playoffs or potentially not making the playoffs. Name me one other coach in the city that could do that, finish in last place, and get extended. They wanted – Bill had a horrible 1 year where they ended up with four wins, and people were like, run his ass up out of here. And the guy won six championships. Cora did win you one championship, but it's like anytime there's an issue, it's always front office, or majority of the time it's front office, and now it's the players. What's the manager?
Here's a text that says, welcome aboard, Wiggy. I've been saying that Cora is the problem for months now, but silence up until this point. Yeah. So
he's a great guy, but if there's issues in the clubhouse, or if we're talking about leadership or culture or whatever it is that we're talking about that's going wrong in that clubhouse, isn't it the manager of why that's the issue? We did it with Mayo. We did it with Missoula. We did it with Brad Stevens.
Well, you're assuming that it's an issue when it comes to, we talked about this earlier, but the chemistry or the clubhouse vibe. As opposed to just not guys not playing up to their potential.
I don't think it's a kumbaya, like they're not getting along in the clubhouse. I think it falls more on the Gerard Mayo side than it did on the Bruce Cassidy side, say it. Like when it comes to Alex Cora, maybe he's too
lenient
when it comes to his players, because he's such a big players manager and he likes the guys. The guys like him, they seem to get along. They seem to be more friends than they do, I'm the manager, you're the player. And so if they're upset about something the front office is doing, sometimes Alex Cora takes their side over the front office. So maybe it's
that gives them an excuse to.
Right.
And I would say this.
If your boss is always like, yeah, you're right. They didn't give us the personnel again this year to get it done.
It is cold.
Who was the guy he encouraged to leave? Justin Turner? Remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That he said, oh, you have a better shot to win in Toronto.
That's right.
Imagine if Belichick told the talented player to stay in the division and leave. I also know this. Cora is incredibly sensitive. Massively sensitive.
Yeah.
He hears everything. He reaches out to people in anger when they don't say he's doing a good job. He is a and the reaction, I said this to Ken, the reaction to the graduation storyline suggested that he felt some pressure. Like, if you're secure in your position, the Instagram posts, the reaching out to people about conversations doesn't occur, from my perspective. He feels some heat. And I think Breslow has gone ahead of him in terms of the safety in the hierarchy of the Boston Red Sox. Mm.
Well, I would think he would say, I'm not doing a good job. Like, if you would ask Cora, like, how have you managed this team up until this point? Do you feel like, you know, where would you grade yourself? I would think that he would say, or I'd hope he'd say, you know what, I'd give myself an F. I'm not doing a good job. The family situation, like I said, I don't really trip about that. You want to do that, go ahead, whatever. But as far as the job that you're doing as a manager on the field,
yeah,
F.
781 text, the fact that y'all are panicking 2 months in is hilarious.
LOL.
We're still in the wild card race, 8 back in the division.
Yeah, I mean, what are you?
It's called relaxing.
What are they, 3.5 out of a wild card okay. spot? Yeah. Yeah, you're in the hunt. I give you that. But the question becomes, what does this team look like moving forward? They haven't won a series all year long. And I know a guy in the Twitch chat said they swept the Cubs. No, they didn't. They haven't swept the series all year long. What is this team? Do you believe, if you're one of those people that believe, like, oh, they could still be a wild card team, then you believe they could play well above or 5 or 6 games above 500 baseball in the month of June?
Wiggy, anything can happen. Just get me to October.
All right. Well, we'll circle back then. How about that?
This is Coach. What's up, Coach?
Hi, great show as always.
Thank you.
Wiggy, you're spot on with Cora. Here's what I want to say. A manager's role really comes to fruition in 1 to 2 run ball games. So just in 1 run ball games this year, they're 6-21. And again, like the moves a manager's got to make from the bullpen or you know, subbing in or pinch hitting or whatever, bunting, not bunting. I'm real disappointed in that. The other major thing that isn't talked about enough is the Red Sox are very near the top in the MLB in the last season and a half. No, I'm sorry, 2 seasons and a half in striking out at the plate. And the only good thing that comes out of striking out at the plate is wearing out a patch of grass from home plate to the dugout. Thank you.
If you struggle in 1-run games, hey, go back to the old school days. Play small ball. I figure something out to get, you know, for you to have
bring the infield in.
Hey, that's what I would have did, and you would have potentially won that one of those Milwaukee games. But yeah, you wanted to have Marcelo Meyer, you know, four or five feet off the off the grass.
They swept the Cardinals in April. Everybody's texting.
Technically they didn't. One of the games get postponed.
What?
You've been saying that for a long time, though, that they haven't swept.
I know. I just don't fight it because it doesn't matter.
That was a sweep.
Oh, okay. I forgot.
I mean, technically, to Wiggy's credit, one game did get postponed.
Right. So it's not technically a sweep.
Mm.
Okay.
There you go. Wiggy,
have to wait till when do they replay? When they play 2 in August to find out if they can sweep a series.
Let's tweet at Brooksy, see if that's an official sweep or not. What do they call that in Major League Baseball? Brooksy. The game gets postponed. All right, so
thing really stung with
you. Yeah.
All right, so you swept one series.
No, it wasn't postponed. They replayed it. It was on Sunday. They played.
Oh,
all
did
three
they replay
games.
That game?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I was wrong about that.
Was it delayed, Shime, or postponed?
No, it says postponed on the schedule.
Right, but then it was played the next day, April 6th. They won back-to-back. They had a walk-off, and that first
one came
back. All right,
so technically I was wrong.
Delayed or postponed, Shime? You have a real issue with that, I
postponed.
Know. Okay.
Whatever.
Yes.
So they won one.
Both are the same.
They swept one series. Out of how many?
I'm not saying they're good. I think they suck. I'm not trying to defend the team.
I was wrong about that.
WEEI Afternoons on a Thursday, little different day, but every week we talk to the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, here on WEEI Afternoons. Alex Cora is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Alex Cora, how are we doing this afternoon?
Doing good. How are you guys?
We're okay. Sorry that we're not going to come out of the gates with a softball, but the reality of the season is the reality of the season. We've all been around sports a long time, and when
underachievement occurs or expectations aren't met, there's usually a fall guy, a shakeup. We've seen it in baseball already with managers hitting coaches, getting fired. So I just want to be respectful in asking this, but with the underachievement, are you and or your staff sort of feeling the pressure in terms of job security?
No, not really. You know, from my end, you know, I actually don't ask coaches about that. You know, I just ask them to do their best on a daily basis. But I can answer that question, you know, personally. No, you know, I feel like every day we go out there, we're doing our best. You know, it hasn't happened for us. You know, you look at the season and having conversations with some people this morning, you know, I was like, man, it's a weird one, right? Because it feels like you are in every game, but it's not going your way. So, you know, this is a tough stretch for us, for me, you know, as a manager. And we just got to be ready for tomorrow. You know, we got a big series coming up here in Atlanta, and hopefully we can win 2 out of 3 or sweep it and get this bad taste out of our mouth.
Well, obviously, Alex, there's no one special potion, no one button you could press to just make everything turn around, stop losing the one-run games and making errors and whatnot. But to me, and I think to a lot of people, it feels like, or at least it seems, the team is pressing. Everyone might be trying to do a little extra, a little more to try to snap out of this funk. How do you advise the team, the coaches and everyone, to relax in the face of scrutiny and frustration like this?
Yeah, I don't think the outside pressure, we feel the outside pressure. Actually, the pressure comes from inside, right? When you look up in the eighth inning, it's a one-run game. When you look up in the ninth, it's a one-run game. Extra inning is the same thing, you know, and this is something that we always talk about. And as a manager, you know, that's something that I keep telling them, you know, like there's certain times in the season when things are going great that you can run freely and, you know, try to score from first and try to score from second, steal base and all that. You know, try to force plays. But in this case, when I think every, if you look at it, the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it seems like every play matters, you know. So slowing it down is the most important thing. For example, the other day, that ball that it was hitting the gap, you know, the ball hit the runner for third, takes up to the plate. I think Gunnar Henderson was at second, and he went third, and Marcelo was trying to make a baseball play, right? In that play, just stop it, right? Because there's a chance that something bad might happen, you know. Like I'd rather have men at third, and I think it was one out at that point, that throwing the ball away, you know, and the guy scores. So same situation yesterday with Rafaela. You know, most of the time we're very aggressive, but he knows with a hit to right field when he's about to turn to third base, he has to pick up the coach, right? And he did not, and, you know, he was at third base, and Sogi was there too, so he's an out. Marcelo the other day with the sack, with the fly ball to right field, you know, like he has a great arm. Maybe if we're in a hot streak, you know, you take a chance and you're safe, but not in that moment. So just keep preaching, keep talking, and hopefully the guys, you know, can breathe a little bit and do less instead of more.
Excuse me, Alex. I'm, you know, a few days ago, it was Rob Rushneider. He had some comments that were self-critical of the team and just kind of for the first time, I've really a player just kind of blunt statements about the current state of the team. Do you have any just thoughts on that? And when an older guy comes out and says things like that, what is your thoughts on that?
I thought it was great. Just being honest with everybody. I think you guys deserve that. The fan base deserved that, right? And I think he was talking for the group. You know, he's a veteran guy. He actually had a good 2 at-bats there, and they went straight to him. And he was honest, you know, he was blasting people, you know, it's just the group, you know, we have to be better at what we do, you know, and it's not early. I've been saying that, you know, like it's not early, you know, it's the third part of the season. We have play and we're playing under 500. We have fallen behind by a lot of games in the division. Obviously, there's a lot of ways to make it to the playoffs, but, you know, if we're going to talk about the playoff, we just have to play better, you know, and I think the first goal is to get back to 500. And, you know, start winning more games. You know, the 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10 is always good, and we haven't done that in a while.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora here with us on WEEI Afternoons. Last week, Alex, when we talked to you, it was before the crochet start. It was in the midst of the bullpen being sort of shorthanded, and you kind of talked to us about maybe needing your ace to go deep into the game. And then as it played out, you ended up pulling him in the sixth after one out and 85 pitches. And that seemed like an example, and Craig Breslow was asked about it today, where, you know, the organization makes a decision on a guy. And I'm wondering, when Breslow and others come to you, in those situations before the game, whenever it is, to talk about a player or an opportunity. Are those directives? Are those marching orders? Are those suggestions, and then you kind of work with it? How do those decisions come about?
No, the crochet one, obviously, I'm going to go public before the game, right, and say, hey, he has 85 pitches, you know, right. Because obviously the opposition is going to game plan against you. That decision was made before. It comes from medical staff. Obviously, the front office is part of it. And going into that outing, we knew, you know, that it was going to be short, you know. And like I said, you know, my job is to help the team, you know, find ways to maximize the roster and win as many games as possible, but also keep the guys fresh, you know. And he was leading the league in pitches, right, and in innings. And we felt before that start, you know, that he needed a blow. And he did an outstanding job. And he wasn't the reason we lost a game, right? We didn't finish a game. I think the next start, he went 105 pitches. You know, he's a full go for his next one. Now we're going to take advantage of the schedule. So I think it's a combination of everything, right? The medical staff, the front office, and obviously putting the calendar together. And I think now, with the benefit of the off days, we're in a full go with him, knowing that at one point we're going to do the same thing.
Alex, I was the one who suggested last week that maybe Crochet could throw his first complete game in the majors, and you laughed and looked at me and said, wouldn't that be great? I feel like broke my heart, Alex. An 85-pitch complete game. He's not Greg Maddux.
Yeah, it's hard, you know. And decisions like that, obviously, you know, I think it's more for the benefit of the player, understanding. And you don't want to tell him that either, you know, because maybe, you know, he tries to do stuff that he's not done in the past, right? Pitch contact, don't strike people out. Tone it down velocity-wise. So he did his best, and like I said, we just didn't finish the game.
Alex, first base guy here. I got to ask the obligatory first base question, and you suggested a couple days ago that maybe Christian Campbell will maybe see some playing time at first base against this Atlanta this series. Any more thoughts on that? Do you see him playing sooner rather than later at first?
Yeah, there's a good chance he's going to play Sunday at first base. You know, he looks, you know, in practice, obviously, he looks more comfortable going to his right, to his right, left. We've been talking about decision making, and as you guys know, it's not that easy, right? You saw it yesterday. You know, Sogi has played first base most of the season. There was a grumble to his right that he went far, right? And it was a routine grumble to second baseman. He tried to make the play. Obviously, Slayton didn't cover. He was late, and they got men first and third. So we understand what we're trying to accomplish here. And we know that there's going to be some mistakes, but we're going to take our chances, you know, and he feels better at it. And there's a good chance he's going to be Sunday.
Alex, the most popular player or name in Red Sox Nation right now might be Roman Anthony. I know you're aware of that. But just in your view, why is Roman Anthony, the way he's playing, not on your team right now? And have you been advocating for him to get the call up?
No, we've been having conversations, and, you know, like before the season, we knew at one point Campbell was going to be part of it. It just happened that he was in opening day. We knew that Marcelo at one point was going to contribute, and he's here already because of injuries. And I know, you know, at one point Roman is going to be here. The timing, this is something that as an organization, we're going to decide when. Obviously, he's doing an outstanding job. He's getting better. And, you know, he's not knocking on the door. He's knocking it down, let's be honest. And, when we make the decision, I know everybody's going to be happy, and I know he's going to contribute.
Alex, how do you feel Marcelo Meyer, who was called up, obviously, perhaps maybe not necessarily the way you envision, but that's baseball. How do you feel he has performed to date?
He's been good. And one of the things that we knew coming into the situation, he's not going to panic. You know, you see him playing defense at shortstop, playing defense at third base. He's a natural. He's a great defender. He's a great base runner. And at the plate, I truly believe that his swing is going to play at the big league level. Kind of similar like Carlos Narvaez, right? Like when with two strikes, they're willing to hit the ball the other way, which, you know, let him see the ball deeper and make decisions in the strike zone. And so far, so good. Obviously, he's going to face some challenges, you know, We can talk about rookies, right? And we're living it right now with Christian, right? He was the best rookie in the big leagues in April, and now he's struggling in May. So we just have to help him to go through stretches, understanding that they're going to have some obstacles throughout the process, and that's what we're here for, to help him to be better.
Alex, I saw you give Trevor Story a little fist bump after his first sacrifice bunt in like 10 years in the game the other day. Just, you know, look, he's not hitting great, so he was doing whatever he could do. But just your thoughts on Trevor with this team and his role. Do you see, do you see it changing much more than what it is right now?
No, we got to get him going. We have to, and he knows it. Obviously, we gave him a day off in the homestand. I saw some good things in the series in Milwaukee. Yesterday, he hit the face hit against the lefty. He did the same thing before, deeper counts. We're still missing the fastball. Yesterday, he put the bunt down, and, like I always tell these guys, and this is what we talked early in the interview, less is more, probably, a few days ago, he was just thinking about, let me hit this ball hard and pull it in the air, hit a homer. And at that moment, he felt like that was the right play for the team. And he did an outstanding job. So, there's a guy that we circle up in the offseason, that he was a big part of what we were trying to accomplish. We don't have Casas. We don't have Alex. And, and he knows it's time to step up. And he's a great defender, but we need him offensively.
Alex, we saw Ramon Vasquez win a couple games by depleting the bullpen, honestly. And there's that balance between winning on any given night but looking long-term. Does that balance change now? Is there more a sense of an urgency? I mean, you're 9.5 games back. Do you maybe need to make decisions more based on winning every single game every night more so than looking long-term?
As you guys know, the rotation needs to go deeper, for us to be able to win games and sustain momentum, the rotation needs to do their job. Right. And if you look at the season, we had a great series in Kansas City. Then we go to Detroit and Tanner struggled in the first day. We need to use the bullpen. And then we have two tough games, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think it was, we lost in extra innings and that was it. Right. So yeah, we're going to be aggressive. I think, having multi-inning guys in the bullpen is going to help us to continue to be aggressive. But at the end, I'm a big believer that you need the rotation to give you more than 4 2/3 or 4 innings. We need at least 5. So, it's sustainable because, it looks great for 2 days or 3. But, the bullpen felt it towards the end of the week, and we don't need that.
Will there be any – will you guys get to a point sometime soon, Alex, you feel like where guys won't be limited to 85, 90 pitches? It seems like Bayo was a little frustrated yesterday, obviously shorter outing for Crochet. Are we going to get to a point where you're just going to let some of the guys go the distance sometime soon, or is it still go for it, please.
No, in the case of Bayo yesterday, he had 80 pitches in 4 innings, that's not efficient, and, basically was 50-50, as far as like strike throwing and balls, right? He was behind in the count a lot. The line looks good, right? It was 1 runs or 2 runs, whatever, but the matchup was a good one for us with Bernie and Yelich, and we knew that we had Dobbins as a multi-inning guy, we passed the baton all the way to the end, we just didn't finish the race, right? So sometimes it's going to be, medical dictated, right? Like Crochet, but then after that, he went 105, whatever it was. And sometimes it's going to be performance-wise and the matchups and understanding that today was an off day and we were going to be able to be aggressive with Dobbins yesterday. Just like I've been saying a lot and I think too many times, we just didn't finish the game.
Alex, do you see Marcelo Meyer being just a third baseman? Do you see him ultimately winding up at that position, or do you see him maybe somewhere else?
You mean this season or in his career?
Yeah, let's say in his career.
I think Marcelo Myers is going to be a top-of-the-line shortstop, not only offensively but defensively. He's really good, and right now our needs is for him to play third base. He'll play a little bit of short, also second base, but, so far so good at third base, man. He's a natural talent defensively. He's a kid that I don't know if you guys have talked to him, but, when you talk to him, the passion that he talks about defense is refreshing. He understands that for us to win games, you have to play great in both sides of the ball, right? Offensively, you have to contribute. But, if you're not contributing offensively, you got to take hits away, and he's been doing that.
All right, Alex, we appreciate you joining us as we do every week. I know these aren't the easiest questions to answer right now at this time and the way things are going, but good luck down in Atlanta. Hopefully we get this turnaround.
No, man, if we like the good ones, man, send the tough ones too. That's part of the gig, right?
That's it, man.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah, appreciate it, Alex. We'll talk to you next week.
Be well. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That was Red Sox manager Alex Cora answering all the tough questions. And
he does. Man,
not really dodging them. So no longer will I pussyfoot into the tough questions. Alex, you said bring them on. Hopefully we don't need to bring them on anymore, because if you turn the corner and start winning some baseball games, the questions will get easier. Alex Cora, WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Again, we'll get to your Red Sox plans here. 617-779-7937. Let's go on the clock. 60-second plan to fix the Red Sox. Right. You want to go first?
I'll go first.
Here we go. Put them on the clock.
All right, first thing I do, I put Alex Cora on the hot seat. If Alex Cora and the Red Sox are not in playoff contention at the All-Star break, he's done. I'm firing him in season if they don't have at least a wild card spot by the All-Star break. The obvious thing would be call up Roman Anthony. So you do that. You do that right away. Here's going to be your new looking lineup. Christian Campbell, you're already learning to play to first base. You're now the first baseman. Trevor Story, get ready to relearn second base, buddy. You're now the second baseman. Rafael Devers, you are going back to third until Bregman plays. So you're at third base. Marcelo Meyer, you're at shortstop the rest of the way. My outfield is Jaron Duran, Rafaela, and Willy Abreu. Roman Anthony is now the DH until Devers moves back to DH. Then Roman Anthony takes an outfield spot and Cedon Rafaela becomes a Swiss Army knife. That's what you're doing with that group. I also allow Garrett Crochet to throw over 100 pitches when your bullpen is taxed. That's right. The ace of the team, who was three-time Hoss of the Week here on Jones and Keefe, he can throw 100 pitches in a start.
Wow. Really going to let him let it rip there.
Let it rip. He's the ace.
I'm going to tell you, we have a good plan. Shockingly similar plan.
Well, it's right there in front of you.
It tells you how obvious it is to fix this stupid team.
That's right.
And, it's still early in the off day, Keith. I mean, they got a lot of time to make moves. They could call up Anthony.
That's right.
They could bench people. They could fire people.
Move some positions. Although it feels like
it feels like they're going to do nothing.
It feels like
there is time to do something.
Story's going to stay at short. and Devers is going to stay at DH, and it's going to sort of and Anthony is going to stay in the minors, and and Cora is going to stay as the manager, and then you're going to be like, all right,
they're just going to have their fingers crossed. It's going to go better against Atlanta.
Well, they've had buzzer's luck.
Then it did.
They had buzzer's luck. They lose all these one run games
against Milwaukee.
How can that happen?
So there you go. That's Keith on the clock. His 60-second plan to fix the Red Sox. You ready?
Yep.
All right, put me on the clock, Nick. Let's fix the Red Sox in 60 seconds. I start by firing Cora. He hasn't made the playoffs since 2021. The team is underachieved. One World Series, .533 win percentage. Same as John Farrell. Alex Cora, you can Spider-Man meme with Farrell while you're waiting for your next job. I tell Devers, get up off your fat ass. Go grab a glove. Take grounders at first and third. You'll get your previous wish of playing third base finally until Bregman comes back. Then you're the first baseman for this team. Now your biggest ego, Cora, gone. Your second biggest ego, Devers, is in check. I'm going to call up Roman Anthony. He's the top prospect in baseball. He's mashing in Worcester. He can play the outfield. He can play some DH. He's at the big leagues. I'm moving Trevor Story to second base, which clears the way for Meyer to play short. Campbell can play first until Bregman comes back. Then he moves to second. Outfield is Anthony, Duran, Abreu. Rafael is your utility. Story is eventually on the bench. And I lean on Garrett Crochet. I hope he doesn't break down and carry us to the playoffs. That's how you fix the Red Sox in 60 seconds.
Yeah, a lot of overlap. The only I'm just of the not Devers at first, but I at least get it. That's I think we're our biggest difference.
You have Cora on the hot seat, but he's on notice. Like, dig your way out or you're out.
Yeah, and I also, how close are you to, if you ask Devers to play third and he says no, and then you ask him a fifth time to play first and he says no, and he's hitting the cover off the ball, at what point do you trade him? Like, consider trading him, make calls about trading him? Because if he's hitting really well and a team says, we'll just take him as a DH, might not be a sell low.
Not to give him an out. No, I agree with that. Not to give him an out. Isn't that a way easier move to make in the offseason? Like, that's probably a tough one to make at the deadline. Not impossible.
Yeah, probably. I think somebody with, like, all that term, right? It's not like a rental. But, I mean, if a team wants to make a massive splash in season.
I think in season you just limit your options.
Tough.
Yeah, I'm sure the Mets would be in. I'm sure other teams would be in. But you're talking about teams that are really in it with a big payroll that are willing to take on salary. The offseason, I think you open yourself up to more. But I personally, I'd be fine with it. I mean, if he is hamstringing your roster right now. Your roster is, let me put that in past tense, hamstrung because of him. And you're playing the Nick Sogards of the world. David Hamilton's never played third. He's doing that in a game. And you're doing it because Devers won't move. So, yeah, Devers is hitting. And you could say, just hit. I don't care where you play. I'm not in that camp.
No.
He's ruining two other positions on the field because he won't move. He has Roman Anthony blocked in AAA because he won't move. So that's it's not just about how he's producing. It's the production he's preventing by staying at DH and selfishly not even taking a ground ball, which, you know, Keith, I was wrong about this. I thought on the last homestand we would at least get the optics of him shuffling over and taking a grounder
first.
He's
not playing the field.
No. He doesn't want to anyway, although Cora has the door more ajar at first than at third, which remains mind-boggling.
beyond strange.
We get the same text over and over and over and over and over again.
All right.
From a
love the consistency.
Rhode Island number. Perhaps we'll see you, sir or ma'am.
Hopefully we do.
At the landing tonight or at the lobster bar tomorrow. It's a 401 number. They tell us we're drinking the Kool-Aid.
No, we're not.
We're too easy on Breslow. I mean, basically, he's saying Breslow put the roster together and we should put more blame on the GM. I think this goes way beyond a talent issue, but are we going too easy on Breslow?
I don't know. I mean, Madfo was in here earlier, and he was ripping the team left and right. But he correctly pointed out, this offseason, Breslow signed Bregman, signed Chapman, lesser returns Walker Buehler, and traded for Garrett Crochet. That all seems like a win to me.
Those are, like, outside of Devers, your best players.
Those guys, right. It's your best pitcher, your closer, and your second-best hitter until he got hurt. So, like, those were all good moves. I would say both Breslow and Cora together fumbled the communication with Devers, and it really backfired on him. And I would even put it more on Cora because who knows the player better? Who knows how he might react? First of all, Cora's a human. I don't know if Breslow is. He's a robot. I don't know if you really understand emotions like that.
But I think Breslow's poor communication was in the lead up to signing Bregman. That's fine if you want to put that on Breslow. Everything since is on the manager. To me, and I actually applaud Breslow for going into the clubhouse and trying to meet with Devers. I give him credit for that because Cora refused to do
it. He wouldn't even do it.
The initial communication, you're right. That's some of that's on Breslow for sure. everything since, that's on Cora.
Yeah.
And that really is the fireable offense. It's not just the in-game management of the bullpen and, you know, pinch hitting for this guy and pinch running for that guy, and it blows up in your face. And even the poor defense and the poor approach, like, all of that's on Cora on some level. But the whole way he's handled Devers, yeah, that to me is what's fireable.
I do blame Breslow for just zero playing at first base after Casas.
That's
and
fair.
It's not exactly Mr. Iron Man that you're replacing. I mean, it's not like you had Cal Ripken. You're like, well, we never thought somebody was going to play there.
But what if the plan was, they're like, well, Devers will go there. If anybody gets hurt, yeah, Devers will do it.
But your plan can't be just like kept quietly in your head. You need to communicate that plan and get like the okay from
that's fair.
From the actual replacement.
That's fair.
So that was a miss. Is it only Breslow's decision as to why Roman Anthony isn't up? Because this is where, if the texter wants to start blaming Breslow for stuff, then maybe I would assume Alex Cora would want the best players available to him in his dugout.
I don't put that on Cora. Yeah. Maybe this is where I've gone too easy on Breslow. I think that's really more of an ownership thing. I mean, ownership wants to manage these contracts a certain way and, you know, manipulate service time. But Breslow's probably on board with that.
But he did say, like, he must. So even if Henry, who actually, I don't even know if Henry could name the prospects. But if you were like.
But Henry wants to save money.
He wants to save money. Yeah. That's for sure. But when Bregman got hurt, Breslow must have cleared it with Henry. And was like, well, we're calling Meyer up. And he's like, yeah, call Meyer up. So then Meyer gets called up. The team is bottoming out. You can't then go to him. It's like, it's the equivalent of a big injury and be like, hey, we need Roman Anthony.
It's true.
I would think he would say, sure.
So you heard our plans. They weren't quite a Venn diagram, but there was a lot of overlap. Yes. Cora's on notice and or fired. Yes. Roman Anthony's up with the big club. Story's on his way to the bench. Rafaela's on his way to the bench. Devers is going to play somewhere, hopefully, in the field. You can jump in with your plans. 617-779-7937. Nick, let's put Gary in Milford on the clock. Gary, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Great to talk with you.
Great, sure.
Two quick points. I think Cora is trying to shoot his way out of town. I've always loved Cora, but I don't think he's handling the bullpen or the pitching staff well this year. But my real reason for calling is the lineup. I would love to have Campbell at first, Rafaela at second, Marcelo Meyer definitely at short, and then Bregman when he comes back at third. And then you have Anthony in left, Duran in center, and, of course, Abreu in right. What do you think?
Okay. I think that's... First of all, great timing. Impeccable timing.
I like it. Now, obviously, Bregman... So you still need to solve third for right now. I think long-term, yeah, Bregman's your guy, and Devers can DH. I think right now, you still need a third baseman. I do like how his plan does not involve Trevor Story.
Yeah, so Trevor Story,
that's
to me...
That's a good one.
Trevor Story, to me, moves to second short-term. Same. I want Meyer at short.
But he's on alert.
Yeah, he's on alert, and to me, Devers go play third. I mean, that's my third base solution.
Would you rather have Rafaela every day at second or Story every day at second?
If Anthony's on the big club?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said yesterday Rafaela's the guy I demote, and he had a good day, but he also ran into an out.
No, true.
And by demote, I mean move to the bench. I think Rafaela on the infield makes the more sense the more we talk about it.
I think so,
although
too.
Story did get a hit. In extra innings,
I screwed everybody.
I lost my
no
bet
hit.
Against the junk balling lefty
the
in
no
extra
hit.
Innings.
Yeah.
It ruined my +100 bet. Just flushing hams.
I'm sorry, to
but
hear
yeah,
that.
I think Story either way is on. I mean, he's getting interviewed and with Sean McAdam, which he did yesterday or the day prior, about how much of a struggle it's been and how hard he's trying, and that's great. You're trying really hard.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You might have, A, never been good outside of Coors, and
true.
B, you might just be done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can go to the bench. I don't care how much they paid you. Go to the bench.
I think Rafaela, because I don't think you want every one of your guys playing multiple spots all the time. Rafaela did it last year, and defensively he did it well. He actually also had a ton of RBI, but he was good in the field. So I would make him the one guy that moves. I think I would lock in Campbell, I'd lock in everybody, and then say, all right, if there's six games in a week, Rafaela maybe plays three of them. You know, give Story a break at second, give Abreu a break, give Duran a break or whatever. I know Duran plays almost every day, but you know what I'm saying? Like one of those, like you can jump in and still play a decent amount. And then that way, instead of like six guys playing multiple positions, you limit it to one.
Yeah, and look, you want to blame Breslow for something while we're talking about Rafaela. And we mentioned this early in the show, but I'll direct it to Breslow. I mean, he's the one who handed out the extension to Bayo. He's the one who handed out the extension to Rafaela. He's the one who handed out the extension to Campbell, which is much smaller sample size, and maybe you still feel better about that one. Those are three extensions that have not worked. So I'll put that on Breslow for sure.
How soon are you sending Campbell back down to the minors to figure stuff out? It's getting pretty dicey. And, like, the throw yesterday is one thing, but he's not even hitting. Like, I would take...
I just think they need him.
Well, but he's...
I know he's not doing anything, no, but then what? David Hamilton?
He's swapping for Von Grissom.
More Trevor...
No, but it's,
yeah,
it's,
I don't want to do any of that.
But like, it's almost more for Campbell's sake.
I get that.
Like, is he for the month of May, you ready for this?
I'd go a longer leash. I would go a longer leash on him.
So, again, OPS... Mm-hmm. is a stat that a lot of people use. Both statisticians and laymen use OPS.
Sure.
Famously, it is on-base plus slugging.
Yeah, these are two numbers added together.
So you take whatever your on-base may be.
It should be a high number.
And whatever your slugging may be, and you add them together. Yeah. Do you know what, for the month of May, Christian Campbell's OPS is?
I'm going to guess no. It's under 700, that's for sure. Six something?
What if I told you it was 335?
Not great, Bob.
335.
I'd tell you, where'd you get my beer league softball numbers from is what I would tell you.
335.
Yeah.
What's Aaron Judge's batting average?
Or maybe I have a shorter
401
lead.
401 now, I
maybe
think.
I have a shorter lead. Yeah, Aaron Judge is hitting 400. This guy's OPS is 3-something for the last month.
There are six guys in the major. No, look, there are seven guys in the majors with a higher batting average than Campbell's OPS for the month.
Here's what I would do. I would stop moving him all over the place.
Same.
And that I would do.
Pick a spot.
And then if that doesn't solve the hitting woes, then you got to send him down. When is that? Is that 2 weeks? I don't know. But
Rookie Jacob Wilson's hitting 353.
I would give him more time. Oh, yeah, no, that's a guy. Came right up.
He's rookie of the year favorite.
Helping the A's. They weren't afraid to call him up.
Nope, Sacramento having a nice time.
Called up everybody.
We don't have any players.
It's true.
We're playing in the minor league stadium anyway. We might as well
promote
all these guys.
When you already play in a minor league stadium, I guess that does feel a little different.
The Red Sox front office report this week brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And joining us now, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, Craig Breslow. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
When it comes to things that you were looking forward to doing today, where does this fall on the list?
Right after going to the dentist and catching up on laundry, I think.
Well, it is. It seems like from the outside perspective, the low of the season yesterday, and we are only at the end of May. As you look at it from your position, how are you feeling about this team right now?
Yeah, there's no doubt we're not where we want to be. We're not where we expected to be. So that's certainly frustrating. But frustration isn't going to help us win games. We've got to figure out how to play better. And I think that's in all facets of the game. We've been close. We've had some kind of gut-wrenching losses, but ultimately we've also not been playing the brand of baseball that I think we expected. We're making mistakes on the base paths. We're not playing the defense that we thought we would. We're not making big pitches when the game is on the line or coming up with the big hits.
When it comes to the pitches, Craig, the bullpen continues to struggle. How do you fix that?
Yeah, I think we've seen the bullpen more active over the last week or so in terms of getting in the game and usage, getting starters out maybe a little bit earlier and trying to attack opposing lineups that way. I think there's obviously personnel options that you can think about, but beyond that, as it relates to the guys that are on the team, I think you think about two things. Number one is how do you create the best matchups that you can, so making sure that we're bringing in the right guys at the right time, and I think recently we have seen that we are doing that pretty well, and then also making sure that we're throwing the right pitches and executing them. And so I think there's been a shift toward getting back to making sure our relievers are throwing their best pitches when the game is on the line, and really leveraging our strengths.
Craig, I've heard a lot from you, from Alex, from some players about a sense of urgency, but I haven't seen one. And I think I speak for a lot of people in not understanding why we are sitting here on May 29th after five straight losses and Roman Anthony is crushing the ball in Worcester what's the timeline on his potential call up, and why have you been hesitant to do that?
Yeah, so I think it's a fair question, especially when you look at Roman's performance, you know, at the upper levels of the minor leagues, and notably in AAA, to start this season. You know, and Roman can be a really, really good player, which we think he is, and still have some development opportunities that he's working through, whether that's getting comfortable in left field. He missed a little bit of time with an injury to his throwing shoulder, you know, working on some things at the plate, despite the fact that the, you know, the stat lines are going to scream otherwise. But I think we also need to be mindful of the environment that Roman would be coming into and the pressure that we could potentially be putting on a 21-year-old, you know, in the midst of a losing streak to come up and save the team. So Roman's time is coming. I don't think there's any question about that. And we've got to figure out, you know, kind of what is best for the organization, what is best for him.
But I would say, Craig, Christian Campbell wasn't in a good position. He's playing second base. He had an awful throw yesterday that cost you the game. But he's here because you need him. He's good. He has talent that the team lacks. Like, no, I'm just speaking for myself, if Roman Anthony comes up and goes 2-for-20, I don't think people are going to be saying he sucks, get rid of him. I think at some point you have to weigh the impact positively that he would bring to the club against whatever negative component to his ability to understand ups and downs and whatever his place on the roster would be. I don't think people would be sitting here saying Roman Anthony's why we suck.
I think that's fair. I think that's true. But at the same time, you know, my job and the job of the organization is to try to put him into a situation where that the 2-for-20 isn't the outcome. And like I said, he's getting close, and every time there's a development opportunity in front of him, he kind of checks that box. And we want to make sure when he comes up, not only is he ready, but there's runway for him to play. You know, you don't want to bring up a 21-year-old and have him play sporadically. He needs to be in the lineup every day. And trying to kind of put all of those pieces together is what we think about every single day.
Craig, would it be a good time? And I don't know how you guys necessarily think in baseball, but in football, when your team's not doing well, isn't it really a good time to get the young guys out there and give them that opportunity? So if they do make mistakes and if they do struggle, they're doing it on a team that's really not going anywhere, and maybe makes it a little bit easier versus struggling on a really good team and maybe you're blowing something that could affect your playoff position.
I think it could be. I think the other side of that argument would be, you know, when we're pitching well and playing good defense and the offense is clicking, you know, there's room to kind of absorb some slumps or underperformance for stretch, you know, in stretches by others, you know, versus the expectation that any individual is going to be able to turn the season around.
Craig, how do you have that take while also balancing Christian Campbell expecting to be at first base this weekend? Are you worried about what that could do to him?
I mean, we're always thinking through what the implications may be of those types of moves. And, you know, losing Tristan for the season was a huge blow, and we've got to figure out a way to put the pieces together and give ourselves the best chance of winning. And you know, we feel like Christian is someone who's going to be able to handle that. But we also, you know, have tried to play this transition out over enough time for him to get some confidence over there. And, you know, we'll try to ease him into that role, and we're going to have to evaluate it on the fly. You know, trying to do this in season is not ideal. But this is the hand that we have.
When it comes to execution or lack thereof, we debate all the time, is it predominantly on the players or is it on the manager of the ball club? And we were talking earlier about a dubious statistic currently, and I'm going to go all analytics on you here if that's okay, but with runners in scoring position, this team is currently 0.036 average wise. Is that just the players aren't hitting the baseball, aren't able to hit the baseball, aren't able to advance the runner, or is that on the manager of this ball club?
You know, I think to some degree it's on all of us. and it's really difficult to determine, you know, what is kind of an approach, what is execution, what is, you know, kind of just reaching your true talent level. You know, I think what we have talked about for the last month or so is the ability to kind of tease out, you know, what your approach is and what you're trying to accomplish before you get to two strikes and what you're trying to do with two strikes. And, you know, situational gameplay is a huge component in scoring runs. And, you know, I do think we're constantly working through what objectives are in different situations. And we have not been efficient in getting runs across the board, especially, you know, our, as you pointed out, our averages with runners in scoring position. And so I think it's, you know, it's time to contemplate some different strategies in terms of being a little bit more aggressive and just trying to get runs across the board, maybe at the expense of the ability to have a big inning, right, and play a little bit more small ball and take advantage of the athleticism that we have. And then, you know, when you zoom out, our offense overall looks okay because we've had a handful of outbursts that's maybe skewing the overall look. So, you know, you could say we're top 10 in terms of run scored and OPS, but we're not scoring runs in high leverage situations. And as a result, we're not winning enough games.
Is the reason that Roman Anthony isn't here, I know you noted that the situation, he needs to check off all these boxes, but if he comes up and struggles and has some sort of a mental issue with the move to the big leagues, that falls on your lap, whereas if he takes his time and waits a little bit longer, then there's less risk of you feeling heat for rushing him up here. Because I watch this team, I can't imagine that Alex Cora is sitting back saying, take your time, Roman. This team is almost on life support when it comes to the division. It defies logic to most people observing this team that Roman Anthony is not there in Atlanta this weekend.
I mean, I think the most direct way to answer that question is the perception or responsibility or accountability that I would feel if Roman struggles is not a factor in making this decision. You know, this isn't about trying to protect me in any way. This is about trying to balance multiple interests, do right by our team and do right by Roman.
Does the team want him? Have you heard from people in the organization, whether it's the manager or players, that, you know, we could really use the help?
I mean, I think everyone's aware of what he's doing in AAA. But at the same time, I think if any of us is looking, you know, if anyone on the team is looking at players outside of the team, then the focus is misguided, right? I think we need to, you know, we want the players on the team. We want the staff to be thinking about how we maximize the 26 guys that are currently on the roster. And it's my job to think about the composition of that roster.
Well, Wiggy had a solution for fixing everything this week, if you'd like to hear it.
I would love to. Yeah, I have multiple solutions.
Well, when it comes to the infield.
Yeah,
Wiggy would like you to instruct Alex to play the infield in when there's two outs at all points going forward.
The game you lost against Milwaukee, you gave up that third run.
The bleeder.
The squib down the third baseline where if Meyer has his toes on the grass, I think he's able to make that play. So I would have my infield in that situation. Granted, I know there's...
It's not conventional.
It's not conventional, but it is aggressive.
Yeah. No, and look, when you think about unconventional solutions, I am all for those. I don't know that, you know, a sample size of one batted ball is necessarily how we want to make decisions, but... Uh-huh.
He was very confident. Well, very confident.
It sounded good. One thing, though, Craig, before we wrap this, but I had a question about the Garrett Crochet 85-pitch outing. Who decided that 85 pitches was the out and why? And lastly, why didn't that get conveyed to Garrett Crochet before the start so that he could have understood, maybe pitched a little bit differently knowing he only had 85 pitches that day?
Yeah, so I would say that's an organizational decision, and I'm happy to take that one on. And you know, we collect a lot of information about you know, about our players, especially our pitchers in between starts. Some of that is objective, some of it is subjective, and you know, we're trying, like all decisions, we're trying to balance the short-term and long-term interests of the team. And, you know, we felt like it made sense based on some of the workload that he had amassed going into that start to keep him a little bit shorter. You know, I don't know that there's a magic number. Somewhere between 80 and 90 is kind of where we landed. And then, you know, I think kind of in respecting the competitive nature of Garrett and the game, you know, I've seen it go both ways where it could be helpful to say, hey, you know, we're going to keep you a little bit short. I've also seen that backfire. And, you know, we decided it was best to, you know, have Garrett prepare as usual, you know, and approach the game in the way that he had his previous starts, given how successful they've been. And, you know, if Garrett is frustrated because he was taken by surprise, we understand that. We're also able to talk through it. And I think, it, you know, ultimately he both understood and agreed that you know, if this situation arose again, that understanding what his pitch count was going to be was not something that he was looking for.
But so that's not Cora's decision then. So that's the organization has analytics they present to him and say, hey, this is why we should be at this point tonight.
It's a conversation. Yeah. You know, and as it relates to health, you know, I think it makes sense to leverage all of the resources and expertise in the organization. And, you know, Alex and I have conversations around game strategy every single day. And, you know, when we see things differently, we sit down and have productive conversations about it and, you know, and ultimately make a decision.
But it's not just a conversation. If you say to him, this is why we have to be at 85 pitches, then he gets out after 85 pitches, right? I mean, it's not like he said, how many pitches should we have for him tonight? You present information to the manager saying, this is why we should pull him at 85 pitches tonight.
Right. So, right. We would sit down and say, hey, this is kind of what the workload has looked like heading into this. This is what, you know, some of the information that we have says, you know, we're going to need to try to monitor the workload. Is it tonight? Is it next time? Let's grab the medical group. And we reach a decision together.
Craig, how do you balance, or especially in the close games that you lost and you guys lost a lot of them, balancing going with your gut and just your baseball experience versus the analytics and maybe saying, all right, well, we can't bring Chapman in for one more inning, or maybe so we have to go with another direction. Like, how do you balance that? Because I feel like in baseball, you know, maybe times when it's close games, you guys should use your gut more than the analytics.
Yeah, I think any answer to that is going to be imperfect. You try to synthesize all of that information in real time, and often you don't have all of the information. You know, what we try to do is just kind of talk about like the decision-making framework, right? Hey, we knew that the best matchup we think is, you know, is kind of predicted by some projection model is this. Here's why it didn't make sense to do that, whether it was, you know, a reliever is tired, or we felt like there was an opposing strategy that might, you know, that might conflict with that, or the starter that we had in the game, you know, is throwing really well and that's not captured. So it's not about, you know, never defying what, you know, what the analytics says. I think it's just about being consistent in how you make a decision. And if we're going to rely on our gut regularly, then we should be tracking those decisions and making sure that we're getting them right more than the alternatives. And if we're going to follow the analytics all of the time, then we also need to be tracking that and making sure that we're getting it right, you know, more often than not. And I think where we get in trouble is when you think that, you know, you might know something that a model doesn't and you don't, or you assume that a model does know something that it doesn't. And so I think understanding what the inputs are and understanding what the blind spots are is how you make the best decisions.
What did the analytics say about how many times a team can be walked off in a single season?
This is, this stretch that we are in is highly improbable. Unfortunately, it doesn't really matter, right? Like, and you know, baseball is a game that we do this all the time. We look at our underlying metrics and we try to find the silver lining, and we say, you know, based on our run differential, our expected record is we should be 2 or 3 games over 500. The reality is we don't get to go back and win the games that we've lost, though. So, you know, we have to put ourselves in a position by doing all of those things that we talked about all call every chance we have.
I guess I just, with the analytics stuff, I just asked this, and I'm not asking this to be a dink. What is the role of Alex Cora? Why is he paid $7 million a year if he's just presented with information and enacts that as the on-field manager during the game?
So I would say that that's not exclusively the role. I think that was, you know, probably distilled down too simply. I think it's to synthesize in real time the information that he's seeing along with the objective information and all of the preparation. And I also think, you know, one of, if not the most difficult job that a manager has, and you know, Alex can certainly speak to this better than I can, is managing the personalities and the needs of 26 guys in a clubhouse and a staff of 10 to 15 coaches. You know, but this isn't about telling Alex to, you know, stick to a script without deviating at all. This is about having productive conversations to put the team in the best position to win as often as we possibly can.
All right. Well, hang in there.
Yep. Toes on the grass.
Yeah.
Late in games. Yeah. Especially for the third baseman.
If you see that tomorrow night, know that it was this call that
maybe
that drove that.
Maybe throw an extra inning bunt on the road out there every once in a while, maybe, despite the analytics.
Yeah, no, that's when I, you know, when I talk about, you know, maybe doing some things a little bit differently than we normally would, you know, while the offense isn't scoring runs the way that we'd like, you know, I think all of those types of creative solutions need to be options for us.
They're on the table. All right, Craig, thank
Absolutely.
You.
All right, thank you.
All right. It is wild.
Right now I have Ken typing something, and I'm very nervous.
Don't be nervous.
I see just the dots.
It's just the dots?
Yeah.
The analytics thing, I understand that I'm not going to be old head screaming at technology
right.
and the advancement of modern society, but relying strictly on it, I don't care if you're the Celtics shooting threes mm-hmm. or you're the Boston Red Sox or you're the New England Patriots. Like, there has to be some common sense human thinking that comes into play at some point.
Right, right.
Or there's no benefit, like Curtis said, to having somebody like Alex Cora involved in the process.
Right, where you're just putting out the lineup card.
Do you have any doubt that what we talked about on Monday – is accurate, that Craig Breslow is far more secure in this organization than Alex Cora?
No, I don't have any doubt about that.
And this, to me, I don't know who to blame half the time, but the 85-pitch thing, my guess, Cora didn't tell Crochet because he thought it was horse crap. And he didn't want to say it was like his idea.
Yeah.
You know, and when I asked, that's what you do, he said, yes, we have a conversation. Well, it's not a conversation. It's he needs to be out at 85 pitches. And then he acts like small sample sizes are arbitrary. It's all arbitrary. It's baseball. You don't know what's going to happen. And certain situations call for, you know, what were the odds that Dave Roberts was going to steal second base? How often would Francona have sent him in that exact situation over the course of 162 games? But they did it because they had to, because it was a desperate time. And within, you know, a millimeter, he gets second before Jeter puts the tag down. This whole organization talks about urgency while using stats that are based on thousands and thousands of at-bats.
Yeah.
Well, I don't get the 85 pitches, and then he'll and then Crochet will have a game where he throws 100 pitches.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really, like, it shouldn't be, that's why I said, shouldn't be a feel of like, all right, he's at 85 is his number, but he's looking good, he's cruising.
Feeling good.
Yeah, let's keep him in, because there's been games where he's went over 85 pitches.
We talked about it a lot earlier. With regard to Chapman yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, the guy is, he's having an unbelievable season. Let him stay in for a little bit.
And there's a reason why Moneyball ends after the ALDS. It's because they didn't win the World Series. Great teams win championships. All of these people will say the playoffs, it's all luck. So you have this information at your disposal that you say is gospel. But when it gets to the most important games or the most important moments, you admit that it doesn't really work.
And it's weird because he's a former player, too, where I would be like, I know you take the analytics into consideration, but hey, yesterday, Abreu, he's feeling good. I know it's lefty on lefty and you want to get a right-handed bat up there, but if you got a guy who's feeling good, then you keep him in the game. Don't pinch hit him. Pinch hit somebody else. Don't take out one of the guys that's feels like he's having a good game, but the analytics say, well, we want a lefty versus righty. isn't it really more of a gut feeling at those times? And like you said, hey, maybe Chapman goes in for an, we ask him in the dugout, how you feeling? Can you go in?
Can you go an extra inning or go an extra couple of batters?
Right.
And I would like to send a message to Alex Cora, wherever you are in Atlanta. Ooh, fun team building. Wiggy and I went to Magic City. Yes. Good spot.
Hey, that's where they should go. That'll change the vibe.
Amen. Get those heads working. And so what I would say is manage for you. You know baseball better than anybody. You've been in the sport your entire life. Do what you think is best, because guess what, Alex? If this doesn't work, you're gone.
Right. And the Roman Anthony thing was weird.
So weird.
Yeah, that
was. It has to be perfect, but for everybody else, if you're Christian Campbell,
that's why I was so confused.
Great question. Yeah. Like, sitting in all these new positions, your head's spinning, and they're trying to basically make it perfect for your buddy to get up and join you.
Also, like, what is your expectation on him when it comes to his career as a Major League Baseball player? The argument that he's 21 years old and is going to be mentally damaged because you bring him up when the team is on a lose streak is ridiculous.
It's such a straw man, Greg. Nobody. Do you know what happened when Mayer got to the Red Sox? It's an old school great Fenway moment. His first at bat, standing ovation.
Yeah.
If Roman Anthony struggles, nobody is going to say, get rid of him, he sucks. He's the number one prospect.
Well, you know what makes May, it makes it different for May, because he's, what, 32 or 33?
Well,
no, I'm being sarcastic, because right, he's 22 years
they're
old.
They're all young.
They're all up there. I don't get the whole, when he said, well, he's young, but you have, you know, two other players that are very young, too, that are up in.
He's either going to make it or not.
Yeah.
He's going to face adversity. Like, he's 21 years old. Bring him up here.
Yeah.
You want
he
to
wants
hear
to be here.
A cynical take?
Yes.
They're waiting for Monday. So he debuts at home.
Maybe.
But I'd rather them say that. I know they never would.
They
but
won't.
Like.
Oh, no. Even more cynical is they're waiting so they don't have to. So they get an extra year at him at a bargain price.
Right.
I always feel like you want to bring the young kids up when the team's not doing well. Hey, put all the young guys in there. Then there's no, like, I feel like if you're on a good team and you come up and
you
make a mistake, now you're thinking about it. Did I ruin it for my team? Did I affect our playoff hopes? Where if your team stinks, you can just go and you can play with, you know, like a clear mind.
Yeah. But it's all cover your ass. The only reason Marcelo Mayer is here is because of all the injuries. Like, so Breslow can just say, well, we had no other option. If Breslow brings up Roman Anthony, then he's putting his ass out there.
Yeah, but what about Campbell, though?
No, I agree. There's no continuity. There's no uniformity of approach when it comes to bringing guys up. It makes no sense.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
But I think we also need to be mindful of the environment that Roman would be coming into and the pressure that we could potentially be putting on a 21-year-old, in the midst of a losing streak to come up and save the team. So Roman's time is coming. I don't think there's any question about that. And we've got to figure out, kind of what is best for the organization, what is best for him.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hello and good afternoon on a Thursday afternoon. Ted Johnson in the house.
What's
early.
Up? What's up, guys?
You know what that means? You're here early. That means Alex Cora will be talking to us early in the show, scheduled to talk to us. I guess Adam Jones wanted me to put it that way because he was disappointed. He was listening all day on Tuesday, waiting for Cora. And, well.
And that bus never came.
It didn't. Arrived.
He is on high alert, man.
He is.
He can't do anything without
being. No, he can't catch a break.
Nope.
Yep. And that's what happens when you lose. That's what happens when you underachieve. But, yes, about 10 minutes from now, 15 minutes from now, we'll talk to Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox. It's an off day. They are in Atlanta preparing for a critical series, probably a critical stretch of games coming
Sneaky
off a couple.
Big.
No. Take the sneak out. This is big. Are you a stone? Are you a last-place baseball team? Or are you going to rekindle something and make an effort and keep the season alive, not only in the standings, but in the hearts of Red Sox fans? Because interest is dwindling. Interest is growing in the New England Patriots, and we'll touch on them later. There's plenty to talk about there, thanks to OTAs, but also Stephon Diggs.
If you spell OTAs and then add a B to it and jumble the letters, then that'll actually be what's up with the Patriots. Boats.
Oh, yeah. MIA and MIA and Cardi whatever B. was that pink substance. And all of that, we'll get to that. There is some Cardi B information out there. We're becoming more and more of soap opera radio thanks to Bill Belichick and Stephon Diggs. Right? I mean, that's just the reality. We go where the news is, and the news is going in that direction. But we got to start with the Boston Red Sox. Good news is they didn't lose last night. That's because they lost yesterday afternoon before WEEI Afternoons.
And they're not going to lose today.
They cannot lose the day, although some may feel like it's a loss if they don't get big news out of Red Sox Nation. Our own Will Fleming and others were projecting big news day. Could Roman Anthony get the call up? And then I think we all listened to Craig Breslow on the Greg Hill show this morning with the front office report. Didn't seem to indicate that Roman Anthony would be getting the call up today. Didn't seem to indicate that that was on the immediate horizon. And interestingly enough, as I open up my computer screen here in the studio, front page ESPN.com, you know what the main story is and the main photo is?
Simone Biles.
Nope, that would be one Roman Anthony, center above the fold if this were a newspaper business. Why two top MLB prospects are still in the minors despite huge numbers. We're going to get into that both with the manager, but also in a greater discussion of what the hell is going on with the Boston Red Sox. How do you fix it? We don't do the whole 60-second clock thing that they do on the midday show, but...
Well, we did it once, but then it was stolen by the midday show.
That's a great point. We did it first, and then they took it.
Wait, we do it now, though, but thrice at the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we kind of... Supposedly 60 seconds. Okay, so we do kind of do
that.
We
have our own version.
We do have our own version, but... The questions for the manager are growing, and I think they're growing more poignant or more
pointed.
Pointed.
Vociferously.
Harsh. I mean, Ted Johnson's going to go after him about Christian Campbell finally, hopefully, in Atlanta, getting to first base. But, I mean, every day it feels like there's more questions and fewer answers about a baseball team that we all got suckered into or were complicit in the excitement. Right, we all thought they were going to be really good. We were buying in. Your boy Bregman jumps into town, and Ted, you're on board. Oh, this guy's great. And he was. I'm not saying he wasn't. He was, but the baseball team didn't follow suit. They are a team that is closer to last place than to first place, and we're almost in June.
They're not living up to expectations, and that's why kind of you look at the manager. A lot of people still would say, even with the injuries to Casas and to Bregman and guys underperforming, like Tanner Houck and others, you know, guys that you just kind of were depending on being there, just haven't been. That's people are going to look at the manager there as a team that on paper looks like it's better than it's performing, and so why isn't the manager getting more out of these guys? That's where it's going, and it just. And he's getting turned up, man. It's got to he's got to be feeling it in that clubhouse.
And Fitzy, especially for a manager who told us for at least the first 6 weeks of the season.
And before that.
We're a good baseball team. It's a good baseball
team. We got
a
good baseball
team. It's a good baseball team. We're not, I mean, are they?
No.
No.
No, they're not.
You are what your record says
no,
you are.
Not.
I'm going to say it again.
There have been much better teams that had similar records at different points in various seasons. Just watch this team play. They are... much like the fans, confused. That was the one word I kept trying to think of. Pick one descriptive to adhere to, like this little board on the Red Sox season. Like, are you frustrated? Sure. Are you mad? Yes. Are they trashy? Sure. I'm confused. How the hell did we get this far down the road? How did we get here? It is such a mess. It is such a dysfunctional mess. It even doesn't seem like the manager knows what to say anymore, Ted.
It's but you talk about confused. I mean, the examples from, you got three errors yesterday. You got a base running error. It's a lot of the young guys. I mean, you got Nick Sogard who kind of maybe misplayed that ground ball to him. And,
you know,
Slayton doesn't get over. Maybe it's his fault. I don't know. I mean, then you got Christian Campbell, first year rookie, kind of making a mistake there at second base, an errant throw. So it looked like a competent team to start the season, like this was going to be a good season. But then with the injuries and the guys mixing and matching, moving guys around, it looks like all of a sudden like a young developmental team all of a sudden.
And it is, I said this to you yesterday, Ted, I think we were too dismissive of the age of this baseball team. This, either way, even before Bregman got hurt and Story is on the ropes, was going to be a young baseball team. You have a lot of rookies. You have a lot of first and second year players, including guys that are getting bumped up into the cleanup spot, things of that nature, post-injury shakeup. So this was going to be a young baseball team. It's getting younger by the day, but maybe not fast enough for some.
We didn't play well today. You know, the score was the score, but, we walked the leadoff guy. We didn't cover first. We dropped a fly ball on left. We got thrown out of third. We made the play at the end. So, the score will say that it was a good baseball game, but we didn't play well today.
How was Alex Cora yesterday?
Again. I don't know where these song selections are coming from for Nick today.
Nick's spinning the hits.
Really playing the hits today. Alex Cora not happy with the way the team played yesterday. You've been happy prior to that.
Yeah, no, they've been doing great.
They've lost five in a row. They're four games under 500. For more on this, Rob Bradford, WEEI, and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. You can check it out on the Odyssey app. He joins us every Thursday at 11:30. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depends on at McFarlandEnergy.com.
Oh, my. If there was ever a time to yell McFarland, it is now.
Yes.
I mean, let's go. I am ready to go. I'm ready to rant. Let's go.
There's a lot to rant
there's
about.
There's a lot to rant
there
about.
There is. Where do you want to start? Rant
play,
away.
Hey, Boston Red Sox. Just play the great game of baseball, all right? Just stop overthinking things. Just play the great game of baseball. Hey, Boston Red Sox front office. Just put the best team on the field. I mean, just put your best foot forward. That's what this is all about. You know, I wrote about this today. I looked back and... the Mets, this was the jumping off point for the Mets. People didn't realize or forget they were 11 games under 500 right now. 11 games under 500. They're like 19 games back. And then they have a team meeting. They had some hard conversations. They make some tough decisions. And next thing you know, they had the best record in baseball and in the National League Championship Series. It's about making tough decisions. It's about getting uncomfortable. It's about not saying, well, we think this is happening back 2 months ago. We think this is happening a month ago. It is about looking at what you have and making tough decisions. And we can go through this. We can go through Devers. The answer that Craig Breslow gave about the crochet 85 pitch thing, I had said that initially. I had said that right out of the gate. Cora was getting ripped for this. I said, just listen to Cora before the game. He said, people smarter than me make these decisions about how long these guys go. He was setting this up already. And that isn't good. That isn't good. Craig can talk about how this is a collaborative thing. But I come back to Joe Maddon. When Joe Maddon got fired, He said, one of the problems with managing now is that you, when the game starts, you have seven voices in your head. And that's sort of how it feels right now. I mean, I'm all over the place.
No.
But
so who's safer, Craig Breslow or Alex Cora? Who do you think John Henry would side with?
I think it's even right now. I think everyone talks about Cora.
But if he's going to side with one.
Oh, if Henry?
Yeah.
No. I think it's honestly, I'm not copping out. I think this is a reality. I think it's too early for Breslow, the guy that they hired. They know the narrative of, 4 years and out. They don't want to do this all over again. They probably like a lot of what he did. And by the way, Craig Breslow had a great offseason, the guys they brought in. We know that how much they really, really like Alex Cora. We could talk about Alex Cora's year, but how much they value and like Alex Cora, no matter what the record is, no matter what the actions are this year, whatever it is. So that's your answer to your question.
I just don't understand how you can like a manager so much when you take away so much of his responsibilities or what the responsibilities used to be in the past. I know all teams use a lot of stats and advanced metrics and everything else. But if you're not going to let the manager kind of manage on feel or like each day is a little bit different, I don't know why you pay him all that money to begin with.
I think it's a problem throughout baseball. And I think Cora's, when we look at Cora and we've talked about Cora's season so far, whenever a manager is having a bad year, a lot of times who's had a good year in the past and we think he's a good manager, a lot of times it's not having a feel for exactly what you have and come back to it. When you have a lot of voices in your head, when you have a lot of stuff going on, I look at some of the decisions in the last two games, for instance, and you have the pinch hitting pinch running for Narvaez, right? And then it comes back to Connor Wong.
They pitch around Devers to pitch to
right.
Wong. Yep.
So it's, you're just a little off. I get what you're doing. You're just a little off. Yesterday, you pinch hit for Marcelo Meyer with Christian Campbell, who is the worst hitter in baseball in the month of May. I mean, that is no.
What about Trevor Story?
No, he's worse than Trevor Story. Worse.
He's got competition.
Worse OPS in the month of May.
Wow.
And so
impressive.
You pinch it, and that comes back to, I don't know if Cora has a good grasp of like what Marcelo Meyer is yet. And in large part because all these moving parts, all these different things, you just have to lock in on what you feel confident in. And I said this today, like, okay, this is how I view it. I have seen enough where I know that Christian Gamble, I don't know what you're doing moving him around all over the place. Send him down to the minors. Have him learn first base. Get his confidence back. He looks like a completely different guy than he did in April. There. Moves to Don Rafaela into the infield. I know that he's one of the best defensive outfielders in baseball. I don't care. What is best for this team is him playing the infield and Roman Anthony playing the outfield. Also, this is an enormous part of this. Perception-wise, Rafael Devers, even if it's just giving him a glove, going out to first base, taking a couple grounders, the perception of it is so powerful right now. Instead of after the game, I'm watching the Nesson feed, and he's just sitting in the dugout, staring straight ahead, clearly upset they lost. But all I'm thinking is, well, if you're that upset that you lost,
right,
then aren't you doing everything possible to change that narrative?
Did they play David Hamilton? He had never played third base before. They played David Hamilton at third.
Everybody plays this guy. This guy won't
get off his ass and play third base. Twitch chat, by the way, loving Matt Bradfo. Just
Matt
FYI.
Brad.
Matt Brad is what they're loving. But on Devers, why on I still can't wrap my head around that Cora answer yesterday from pregame. The door is shut on third base, but they're going to have future conversations about first? Like, what? How did you read into that answer from Cora? I thought the door was slammed shut at first.
So I've heard a lot of what you're saying, and I don't disagree. I mean, listen, the guy, you go back to the no press conference, and you wanted to play. Okay, here's your chance to play. All right. The third base thing, I think, is they just say, and I don't necessarily disagree with this, Marcelo Meyer, till Alex Bregman comes back, you're a third baseman. You're a third baseman. He's going to be better than Devers. It's fine. But still, if Rafael Devers ever wants to play in the field again, it is going to be at first base. And so that's where, like, you have to say, hey, here's your chance, Rafi. If you want to play at all, and maybe he can't play there. Maybe he won't be any good. But the reality is that right now, as we sit here, I'll come back to the Mets thing. They have this team meeting. on May 29th after being beat 10-3 by the Dodgers. After falling game 11 games under 500, they have a team meeting and have hard conversations, make tough decisions. That's what we're talking about here. Yeah, this isn't easy to backtrack Rafael Devers. But still, what is the best for the team? If you don't want to be in the dugout staring straight ahead, wondering what's going on, then you, if nothing else, just take a couple grounders at first before the game. See if it hits. Because even if you don't play first base, it sends the message that you so valuable need right now.
Well, Craig Breslow said a lot of big words this morning, but what is the real reason Roman Anthony's not up yet?
Oh, I actually believe that they think that they're slow playing this, but it makes no sense.
Yeah.
I mean, because we talked about this before when it said about, well, we don't want to make it seem like he is have to be the guy. Well, Marcelo Meyer was just called up. Right. Marcelo Meyer is.
But also 2 weeks ago, there wasn't as much of a like sense of urgency, like the season slipping away. They weren't great. They were like two games over 500, but we all wanted Roman Anthony up 2 weeks ago and they weren't bringing him up, and it wasn't like a savior scenario
but,
then.
But even then, you can say, oh, well, you have Bregman, you have this offense, it's okay, and everything else. But and I agree with you.
Okay.
But right now, it's not. There's no room for interpretation.
No,
I mean, there's zero room for interpretation in terms of what you need for the what's best for the baseball team. Are you going to be as good defensively in the outfield? No. But you also, you need to find answers offensively. Roman Anthony is an answer offensively. Roman Anthony is a guy that you can put in the middle of the order, much like they just had Marcelo Meyer hitting cleanup, by the way. Mm-hmm. And the good thing I like about both those guys is that they're just, and you guys know Marcelo Meyer.
Well, we're best friends with Marcelo Meyer.
Yeah, yeah. But I've said this before, they're just the right amount of cocky, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to, when Tristan Casas says his thing about all these guys being wanted sent down, they didn't like say, oh, Tristan, you're so right. No. Like, they're like, what are you talking about? I'm going to make the team, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I don't think there's an element of, oh, we're going to be blown away if we get to the major leagues. So to answer your question, like, I do think that they're like, oh, we got to check off this box, that box, this box. But it comes back to this. What is best for the team? And last thing in that respect, mm-hmm. The Garrett Crochet thing. Like Garrett Crochet, I said this at the outset. Like I said that, you know, that this was everyone's railing on Cora. I said, you know, this is the thing. But Crochet is an example of you don't just take what's in a vacuum. You don't just take this because everybody knew at that time you had one reliever who hadn't pitched. You had one reliever available. So you have baseball scientists. You have to factor all that in. Much like this with Roman Anthony. Yeah. Maybe he doesn't know how to slide quite the way that you want. Maybe he isn't the greatest left fielder. But for what your team needs at the most important time, you have to call this guy up because that skill set. And by the way, the Crochet thing, and what we should also factor in, at that point in time, they needed to keep the momentum going. They needed that.
100%.
They needed the win because you know what's happened? You know what happened since?
They lost. They don't win.
Yeah.
They lost
like every game.
They won that series. They won 2 out of 3 in that series. It felt like a loss. Best case scenario, it's the off day. Even a minor move. Are we getting anything today? Are we getting any moves today?
Yeah, I tuned in to 215, right? With Alex Cora. I mean, it certainly didn't feel like when Craig Breslow was talking this morning.
I agree.
That it was going to be anything.
I didn't get the sense. Maybe he was being real cagey.
Yeah,
I didn't get the sense anything was happening. I mean, we've already
other than bringing the infield in with two outs.
We've already said the box. If the team doesn't want to do it, we're going to put it on ourselves to go to Worcester and go get the guy. Like we're going to drive him to Fenway. We are going to go get Roman Anthony if the Red Sox won't do it. That's usually how it works.
You have to drive somebody.
I won't lose my keys.
I'll have
my keys on me. We'll go get Roman Anthony.
They're not in Pawtucket anymore. We don't have to cross state lines. It's all within the state.
As a, what is he, 22? I think as a 22-year-old, I probably lost my keys, but probably not for 3 weeks.
No, that seems like a long time to not have the keys.
Somebody texted us. I think the ghost probably did it. I think it's probably what was going on.
Yeah. Well,
Bradfo, I like
fiery Bradfo.
I like this side of you.
Well deserved.
Not to say that I don't always enjoy our chats, but I like this side of you.
Fork of the road. What's today? Thursday.
Yes.
rubber meets the road Thursday.
That's right.
I like Madfo joining us here on Thursdays on Jones.
Let me write that down.
All right. Another marketing.
Baseball certainly isn't boring.
Check out the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast on the Odyssey app and check them out all over WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.